ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। श्री नारद उवाच गृहे स्वस्थितो राजन् क्रिया कुर्वन् यतोचिता वासुदेवार्पणं साक्षाद् उपासीत महामुनीन्। नारद मुनि रिप्लाइड, माई डियर किंग, दोस हु स्टे एट होम एज हाउस होल्डर्स मस्ट एक्ट टू यर्न दर लाइवलीहुड एंड इंस्टेड ऑफ ट्राइंग टू एंजॉय द रिजल्ट ऑफ दर वर्क देमसेल्स दे शुड ऑफर दीज रिजल्ट टू कृष्ण वासुदेव। हाउ टू सैटिस्फाई वासुदेव इन दिस लाइफ कैन बी परफेक्टली अंडरस्टूड थ्रू द एसोसिएशन ऑफ ग्रेट डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड। Purport. The format for grihastha life should be dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyasi, he must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Krishna, the son of Vasudev, This should be the principle for everyone's life. Narada Muni has already described the principles of life for a brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyasi. And now he is describing how a grihastha should live. The basic principle is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. Sakshad Upasita Mahamunin. The word Mahamunin refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Saintly persons are generally known as munis or thoughtful philosophers concerned with transcendental subject matters. And Mahamunin refers to those who have not only thoroughly studied the goal of life, but who are actually engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. These persons are known as devotees. Unless one associates with devotees, one cannot learn the science of Vasudevarpana or dedicating one's life to Vasudev, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In India, the principles of this science were followed strictly. Even 50 years ago, I saw that in the villages of Bengal and the suburbs of Calcutta, people engaged in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily when all their activities ended, or at least in the evening before going to bed. Everyone would hear the Bhagavatam. Bhagavat classes were held in every village, and thus people had the advantage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes everything about the aim of life, liberation or salvation. This will be clearly explained in the next verses. So I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees before trying to speak something from Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are reading this chapter, Ideal Family Life. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narada Muni about the previous verse. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, kindly explain how We who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas. So in response to Maharaj Yudhishthira's question, in this chapter, Narada Muni is describing in great detail about the duties of a person in the Grihastha Ashram. So in this purport, in this particular verse, Prabhupada is actually talking about three main points which I could understand. The first he is talking that, so he is telling that what is actually the goal of the Varnashram Dharma, or what is the main principle of Grihastha Ashram or Brahmachari Ashram or any ashram for that matter. So he is clearly establishing the goal of the Varnashram Dharma is to ultimately to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And then in the second paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining that how one can satisfy the Supreme Lord. How do we understand the science of dedicating to the Supreme Lord or satisfying the Supreme Lord, which is described by the word Vasudevarpanam. So then, finally, in the third paragraph, Prabhupada explains about how this science was being practiced since many years, even in India, that people used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the evening. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like in Rupa Goswami actually describes about the 64 items of devotional service, 64 items of sadhana bhakti. So after describing the 64 items of sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami says that all the great learned people and great saints have concluded that Varnashram is not an item of sadhana bhakti, is not an item of devotional service. Then someone may argue, here Rupa Goswami is saying that all the great saintly people have concluded that Varnashram is not an anga of bhakti. But we see there are other saintly people like Parashar Muni. He says that Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Nanyat Vishnur Aradhyade Panta Nanyat Tattosha Karana. Parashar Muni says that Lord Vishnu can be satisfied by practicing the duties in the Varnashram Dharma. And there is no other way, Nanyat Tattosha Karana. There is no other way to satisfy the Lord Vishnu except by practicing the rules and regulations in the Varnashram Dharma. So one may argue, see, even these great saintly personalities like Parashar Muni is saying that by practicing Varnashram Dharma, that is actually as good as devotional service. So how can we understand this statement of Rupa Goswami that Varnashram is not an anga of devotional service? So in response to that, he is giving the answer by saying that although Parashar Muni makes this statement, I think the Vishnu Purana somewhere, but Parashar Muni also says that if even for a moment the remembrance of Lord Vasudeva is missed, that is the greatest loss, and it is the greatest fault, and it is the greatest illusion, and it is the greatest anomaly. Although Parashar Muni says that just following the rules and regulations of Varnashram, we can please the Supreme Lord. He also says that if we do not remember the Supreme Lord, that is the greatest fault. And he also says that King Bharata, he simply chanted the names of Lord Krishna throughout his life. Even in his dreams, he would chant nothing but the names of Lord Krishna. So although Parashar Muni is emphasizing Varnashram Dharma, he also tells in other places that complete remembrance of the Supreme Lord, that is the highest. If one forgets the Supreme Lord, even for a moment, that is the greatest fault. So, that is why Rupa Goswami quotes a verse from the 11th canto, in which Krishna is telling to Uddhava, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravana dauva shraddha yavan na jayate. Lord Krishna says that one should execute the duties in the Varnashram Dharma the periodic duties and the daily functions in one's respective ashram, as long as one, till the point one develops complete detachment from material sense gratification, until the point one develops complete faith in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. So, in this verse makes it more clear that simply following the rules and regulations, that is not the ultimate goal. Just like a few days back, Shamanandra was giving the example, like when the best buses were started, there were a lot of crowd in the bus. So after some people asked, like, why there is so much of crowd in the buses? And he said, because bus stops in so many places, there are so many bus stops are there, bus has to stop. Then better reduce the bus stop, no? Then this person said, if we reduce the bus stops, then there will be nobody will be traveling in the bus. So if the purpose of the bus is to carry the passengers from one place to another place, if there is no bus stop, if the passengers are not traveling, then what is the purpose of the bus? So similarly, if one simply follows the rules and regulations, that is not the ultimate purpose of Varnashram Dharma. Ultimately, one has to come to the point of surrender to the Supreme Lord, or one has to come to the point of developing complete faith about hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. So this verse, which Parashar Muni quotes, that how Varnashram, there is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Lord, this verse is spoken just to encourage those who are not qualified for pure devotional service. And as explained in the 11th canto, one has to perform, one performs this rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma until one develops detachment from material sense gratification and until one develops complete faith in the Supreme Lord. Just like in the previous chapter, we saw this conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and Avadhut Brahmana. The Avadhut Brahmana was completely not following any rules and regulations because he was completely on the transcendental platform. So this attitude of serving the Supreme Lord is explained in one very nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like, many times when a person hears the Krishna conscious philosophy, that how the constitutional position of a person is to serve the Supreme Lord. When a person hears that I have to be servant of somebody, then he becomes greatly shocked. I don't want to become servant. But then if we deeply see that every person is actually serving somebody or other. In fact, even in companies, like every person has a boss. So it is a great fortune to have a good master. Like nowadays, because of the recession, so many jobs are being laid, so many people are laid off from the companies. So basically one is supposed to treat the people nicely and use the things and love the people. But nowadays people use people and love things. So when the companies, they think there is no more profit, so then they lay off so many people. So to get a good master is actually very rare. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, when they went to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramakeli, they recite a verse in which they say, Bhavantam evanu charam nirantara, prashanta nishesha manoratantara, kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara, prakarsha ishyami sanata jividam. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, they say, simply by serving you, the Supreme Lord, serving you, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, constantly, one is freed from all the material desires and one becomes completely pacified. So at present, we are engaged in the service of this Muslim governor. Because of his association, we are engaged in so many abominable activities. So when will that day come when we will engage in your service constantly, by which we will be completely satisfied and we'll be freed from all the material desires. So again, the same point is the purpose of Varnashram Dharma is ultimately come to the point of complete dedication to the Supreme Lord, and which will free one from all the material desires, and which will actually give complete happiness to the living entity. Prabhupada explains in the purport, just as a dog or servant is very much satisfied to get a competent, perfect master, or as a child is completely satisfied to possess a complete father, so the living entity is satisfied by completely engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, one will be completely satisfied when one gets the Supreme Lord as the master. Then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining that the science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. That is Sakshad Upasita Mahamunin. So when we hear the word Muni, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Muni means one who is expert in speculation. Like Munis, they are mainly interested in the research work and not in the goal. Like devotees are interested in the goal of everything, goal of human form of life, and they are not interested in the research. The Munis, like, one is called a perfect Muni if one can speculate something which nobody has speculated previously. So that is called a Muni. But here, the word used is not just Muni, but Mahamuni. So when, Shamanantra was giving example, suppose when the Munis are, when the group of Munis are there, it is like a group of pickpocket people, those who are stealing from others' packets. If they are put in one room, everybody is trying to steal others' money. So you can imagine what will be the vibration. So similarly, if group of Munis come together, they simply speculate about something something new. So but here, Narada Muni is described, or the devotees are described, not as Muni, but as Mahamuni. Mahamuni refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Prabhupada explains that it refers to those who are not only thoroughly studied the goal of life, but who are actually engaged in satisfying the Supreme Lord, Vasudev. So in order to understand the science of the Supreme Lord, one has to take shelter of the great devotees of the Supreme Lord. Like this principle has been explained very nicely in the third canto, when Kardama Muni, when he performed austerities for many thousands of years, then finally Lord Vishnu appears in order to fulfill the desire of Kardama Muni. So when Lord Vishnu appears, Kardama Muni offers wonderful prayers to satisfy the Supreme Lord. In the first prayer, he says that your lotus feet are like the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane essence. This material world is like a big ocean which contains dangerous waves. It is not possible to swim across the ocean on one's own. One has to take shelter of a ship, a powerful ship or a powerful vessel. The Lord's lotus feet are like the true vessel which can take one across the ocean of material existence. And then Kardama Muni says, only persons who are deprived of their intelligence, they worship your lotus feet in order to satisfy their material desires, in order to get sense gratification, which is available for persons even rotting in hell. However, O my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow upon even such people. So Kardama Muni is glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he is describing that how he is condemning people who approach the Supreme Lord, who approach the Lord for material to satisfy their material desires. But immediately in the next verse, Kardama Muni is actually expressing his desire, why he has come to the Supreme Lord, what benediction he wants from the Supreme Lord. Kardama Muni is saying, therefore, desiring to marry a girl of like disposition, who may prove to be a veritable cow of plenty in my married life, to satisfy my lustful desire, I too have sought the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of everything, for you are like a desire tree. Although Kardama Muni is condemning those people who approach the Supreme Lord for sense gratification, but he is expressing his desire. His desire, he is saying that, I am approaching you in order to get a good wife who can satisfy me in the grihastha ashram. So, we can actually appreciate the honesty of Kardama Muni. In one of the classes, one senior devotee was mentioning, even purity is actually, in one sense, it is easy to practice. Because when we are in the association of wonderful devotees, we are actually forced to follow the principles. So we will be actually forced to lead a pure life. Because of the power of their association. But then honesty is even more difficult to practice than purity. But here we see that Kardama Muni is actually honest about his material desire. We see this example even in the case of Yudhishthira Maharaj. The 7th canto, when Narada Muni was describing in the assembly of Rajasya sacrifice, so just before the sacrifice was about to begin, during the sacrifice, that Shishupal went on blaspheming the Supreme Lord. And Lord Krishna, because this time he could not keep track of the count, he went much beyond 99. So Lord Krishna immediately killed Shishupal with a Sudarshan Chakra. So as soon as Shishupal died, everyone could see that Shishupal's soul could enter into the body of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. It merged into the body of Lord Krishna. So immediately after seeing that, Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately asked a question, that how is it that Shishupal was such a great envious demon, how is it that he actually attained liberation? In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj says that it is such a wonderful thing that such a great demon like Shishupal attained liberation. In fact, in one lecture, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that Shishupal was such a person that right from his birth, he was so envious of Lord Krishna. In fact, the very first words which he spoke was some bad words against Lord Krishna. His parents could understand the only person who would kill Shishupal is Lord Krishna. His death will occur only by the hands of Lord Krishna. So his parents asked Lord Krishna that please do not kill my son. But then Lord Krishna said, I will not kill him as long as he exceeds 99 bad words, as long as he speaks more than 99 blasphemies against me. So then every time when Shishupal would speak about Lord Krishna, he would actually keep track and he would stop at 99. So this Shishupal, when Rukmi actually promised Shishupal that he would give his sister in marriage to Shishupal, so that time Shishupal's envy got little diverted because he was actually imagining about marrying Rukmini. So, and then he was actually awaiting that moment that when he would marry Rukmini. Right at the last moment, Lord Krishna came and then he kidnapped Rukmini and went away. So this actually increased Shishupal's envy hundreds and thousands of times. So then the instance of Rajasya sacrifice came. When the Rajasya sacrifice came, the purpose of Rajasya sacrifice was Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted that Lord Krishna should be established as the Supreme Lord. He wanted Lord Krishna to be worshipped by all the persons in all the world. So that is why he conducted a Rajasya sacrifice. So when the moment came when Lord Krishna would be offered the ultimate worship, that time Shishupal's envy increased thousands and millions of times more. So this time, when he started blaspheming Lord Krishna, that he could not actually keep track. In fact, Solanus Radhanath Maharaj, when he was speaking, he was saying that to comprehend the envy of Shishupal towards Lord Krishna is as difficult as trying to comprehend the love of gopis towards Lord Krishna. So that is how envious Shishupal was towards Lord Krishna. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that Shishupal attained liberation, he was completely surprised. He said that it is so wonderful. Actually, he attained liberation. My intelligence is completely disturbed. Just like a flame of a candle is disturbed by a powerful wind, similarly my intelligence is completely disturbed. So please explain this to me. So we can see that this principle of, again, this honesty of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj did not think that, so what will others think if I ask this question? Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately asked this question to Narada Muni. So then, here also Karadama Muni is having, we can see this honesty of Karadama Muni. But then, immediately in the next verse, Karadama Muni is actually speaking a verse in which he is giving the solution of how to overcome this bodily necessities of life. We have these four bodily necessities: eating, mating, sleeping and defending. So he is especially referring to the bodily necessity of mating. So Karadama Muni is saying, lokamscha lokanugatan pashumscha hitva shritaste charanata patram parasparam tvad gunavada sidu piyusha niryapita deha dharma. Karadama Muni says, however, persons who have given up the stereotyped worldly affairs, lokamscha lokanu gatan pasumscha, who have given up the stereotyped worldly affairs and the beastly followers of these affairs, such persons and who have taken shelter of the umbrella of the lotus feet by drinking the intoxicating nectar of the Lord's qualities and activities in discussions with one another, can be freed from the primary necessities of the material body. So although Karadama Muni is actually asking for a good wife, but then he's telling that how one can overcome this necessity in this verse. He's saying that, he's especially using the word parasparam tvat gunavada sidhu. By discussing the activities of the Supreme Lord among one another, parasparam, then one can overcome this primary necessities of the material body. So in this way, we can understand this principle that how one gets the association of devotees, one can actually come to the position of getting complete faith in the Supreme Lord, and one can overcome the bodily necessities. And we also see the same principle spoken by Maharaj Jadabharat to Maharaj Rahugun. Maharaj Jadabharat says, Rahugunaitat tapasana yati na chajaya nirvapanad grihadva. He says that one cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy or simply by following the rules and regulations of a householder life, or simply by renouncing everything, or simply by performing lot of austerities, by actually, like, some people may perform austerities, like, in the winter, like, they may be surrounded by chilling cold water, or some people may perform austerities in the summer, by being surrounded by hot fire. So even by such austerities, one cannot attain the Supreme Lord. Then how one can attain the Supreme Lord? Vina mahat pada rajobhishegam. Unless one smears oneself with the dust of the Supreme Lord, with the dust of the devotee of the Supreme Lord, one cannot actually realize the absolute truth. One devotee was telling a point that when Narada Muni, how he gave mercy to Nalakuvir and Manigreev. Sometimes when the mother wants to give medicine to the child, if the child is sleeping, mother may pinch the child, then child will start crying, child will wake up and then mother will give the medicine. So although the child has no grudge towards the mother, but in order to benefit the child, mother wakes up the child by pinching she gives the medicine. So similarly, although Nalakuvir and Manigreev, although they didn't have any grudge against Narada Muni, but Narada Muni, because of his compassion, he actually delivered he cursed Nalakuvir and Manigreev, and then he delivered them. There was one great Mayavadi sannyasi who was a very scholarly Mayavadi sannyasi who actually defeated all the brahmacharis in the Gaudiya Math by argument. So when he defeated all the brahmacharis, the devotees told him, tomorrow our Guru Maharaj is going to speak, you please come for the lecture. If you want to argue, you can argue with our spiritual master. Then he came to the discourse of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he came, although he was such a great big scholar on Mayavad philosophy, when he attended the lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was completely stunned. So then devotees, he could not ask any question after the lecture. So then devotees said, okay, you go back and you note down the questions and tomorrow you come. And then you ask to our spiritual master. So he went, he noted down the questions, and then he came the next day he came. So again when he came, he heard his discourse. Again after hearing the discourse, he was completely stumped. He could not ask any question. And then third day he came, and then he completely surrendered to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he went on to become one of the great sannyasis, Adhikesha Swami, and he wrote even great books on Sikshashtakam prayers. So we can see that how when a person comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, one can actually realize the absolute truth. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Karwas Goswami says, Sri Chaitanya Padamboja Madhupebhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Ashrayad Yesham Shvapitad Gandha Bhagbhavet. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I offer my obeisances to the bee-like devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who always drink the nectar of his pastimes, nectar of his lotus feet. And what is the position of such devotees? He says, Katanchit Ashrayad Yesham Shvapi, even if a doggish non-devotee takes shelter of such wonderful devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can relish the aroma of the lotus flower. Prabhupada says, dog actually, because the significance is, here even a doggish non-devotee, a worse non-devotee is compared to a dog. So Prabhupada says, a dog does not become devotee at any time. In fact, dog is such an animal that it does not respect even the tulsi plant. In fact, it is especially inclined to pass urine at the tulsi plant. So Prabhupada says that, so dog is the number one non-devotee. So even if a doggish non-devotee, that means even if a worst non-devotee, if such a person takes shelter of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can taste the aroma of lotus flower. They can actually relish the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then Prabhupada gives the example that even Shivananda Sain's, one dog came in contact with Shivananda Sain, because that dog achieved the love of Shivananda Sain, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered that dog. And even the cats and dogs in the house of Srivast Thakur, they were all delivered by Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, because they were all connected to Srivast Thakur. And then again, one more verse, the 11th canto, how the glories of devotees explained by Lord Krishna himself. Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, Santo Dishanti Chakshumsi Bahir Arka Samuttita Devata Bandava Santa Santa Atmahamevacha. So here Lord Krishna is comparing a devotee with a sun. Sun god, sun, what is the sun gives only internal vision, sun gives only external vision, but devotee gives both internal and external vision. Or the most important is to get the internal vision. Although one may be able to see everything around, but if one does not have the internal vision, if one does not understand what is the real goal of life, then there is no use of even this eyes. So the power of a devotee is that devotee gives the internal vision. Like one devotee was explaining that when Prabhupada was going from Calcutta to Mayapur, that there was a very horrible accident. Like one person's brain had come out of the body. Then the devotee saw, devotee commented to Prabhupada. He said, oh, material world is so miserable. So Prabhupada said, even if you do not see this accident, you should actually have the conviction that material world is so miserable. And then another time, one devotee asked Prabhupada about one famous sitar player. Prabhupada, what is your opinion about this particular sitar player? Because he plays some light music and music in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada said, he mentioned the name of that person. He said, he means only sense gratification. So then that devotee said, how is it? He is just playing sitar. It's like a music in the mode of goodness. Why are you saying that? He is simply doing sense gratification. So Prabhupada said, if anybody who is actually doing work for his own sense gratification, not offering to Krishna, is actually nothing but a thief. So in this way, when a person comes in contact with a devotee, he actually gets the internal vision. And then another example which Lord Krishna is telling this verse is, sun, it actually rises and sets. But devotee is not like that. Devotee is not that sometimes he rises and then sets. Devotee is always available. By the association of devotee, his association is always available. So this is the power of a devotee. Again, in another example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he explains the ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after explaining ecstatic symptoms, in fact, these ecstatic symptoms exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the topmost symptoms a person can exhibit. That is exhibited with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his last 12 years when he was residing at Gambira. So it is actually so difficult to describe these pastimes. But after describing those wonderful ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami says, Chota Bada Bhakta Gana Vandon Sabara Shri Charan Sabe Mora Karaha Santosha. Kaviraj Goswami is actually, he says that, I offer my obeisances to all kinds of devotees. Chota Bada Bhaktagan. Whether a devotee is small or big, I offer my obeisances to all the devotees. In fact, Prabhupada explains that there are three kinds of devotees. Especially, one is neophyte devotee. They are called Bhajana Shila. So Prabhupada explains, let the neophyte devotees, the devotees who are very expert in arguing, though they have no sense of advanced devotional service, who think themselves very advanced because they imitate Smartha Brahmanas, let such devotees not be displeased with me, thinking that I have committed errors in this regard. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is actually offering obeisances to all the devotees, whether it's neophyte or Matyamadhikari or Uttamadhikari. So in this way, we can understand the importance of association of devotees. And also in another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 4th chapter, Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayo pyatra mohita. He says that it is even great kavayo. Kavayo means even great learned people, they are very much bewildered about understanding what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma. Tatte karma pravakshyami yajnatva mokshese shubhat. I am going to impart this knowledge, what is karma, what is vikarma, karma. By knowing that, you will be delivered from the miseries. So Krishna is saying that kim karma kavayo pyatra mohita. Even great learned people are bewildered about what is karma and akarma. But then in the next verse, Krishna says, karmano hyapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmana. Akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gati. But you should try to understand, you should understand what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma. So one can may be wondering, even great persons are bewildered about understanding what is karma or what is vikarma, then why is Krishna saying that you should understand what is karma, vikarma, akarma? Even if great persons are bewildered, how can I understand? One may ask the question. So the acharyas give the meaning. What is the meaning of the word bodhavyam? Bodhavyam means one should understand in the association of those devotees who have actually seen this truth, who are actually well versed in the truth. So although it is very difficult to understand what is karma, vikarma and akarma, but one can understand these subject matters when by taking the association of the devotees. And finally, the last paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining about how people would hear Srimad Bhagavatam in India, in the villages, every day they would hear in the evening from the different saintly people. So this culture was prevalent in India. Of course, now because of the degradation of Kali Yuga, people have forgotten about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. They do not understand what is the goal of life. So this hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most important limbs of devotional service. In fact, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains 5 most important limbs of devotional service. In that, one of the limbs of devotional service is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. These 5 most potent forms of devotional service are so powerful that they can awaken bhava bhakti even in the stage of a sadhana. So that is the power of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So this principle is actually very nicely explained in the 11th canto. One devotee was explaining this few years back in one of the classes. The beginning of the 11th canto, Krishna actually tells about his plan to annihilate the, Shukadeva Goswami narrates the plan of Lord Krishna to annihilate the Yadu dynasty. So, as we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears in this world whenever and wherever there is a decline of religion. He appears in order to establish religion and in order to annihilate those people who follow irreligion. One of the purpose of the Lord's descent is to establish the religious principles. So after he appeared in this world and he killed so many demons who were actually propagating so many irreligious principles. So after killing all the demons, he killed so many demons in Vrindavan, then he came to Mathura, he killed so many demons, and then in Dwaraka he killed so many demons. Then after killing all the demons, then Lord Krishna thought, although some people may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion, it is not yet gone. Because there still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. So Krishna says that although I have killed all the demons, some people may think that all the demons are annihilated. So earth's burden is completely gone. But still now the Yadu dynasty is there. And one may wonder that Yadu dynasty is actually the own family of the Supreme Lord. So why does Krishna want to destroy the Yadu dynasty? Because the reason is the Yadu dynasty, the Yadavas were proud of being part of Krishna's family. So, like, because of being part of the family, being part of a family is not a problem. In fact, we have to be part of a spiritual family. But being proud of a spiritual family, that is the problem. So, the problem with the Yadavas were, they were actually proud that we are the only persons who are part of the Krishna's family. But then, Krishna clearly says in the Bhagavad Gita, Pitaham asya jagato, mata data pitamaha. Krishna says that I am the father, mother, grandfather of everyone. That means everyone is part of Krishna's family. So to think that we are the only persons who are part of Krishna's family, being proud of that is wrong. So because Yadus were proud of being part of Krishna's family, and because of that they offended the saintly persons, so Krishna wanted to annihilate the Yadu dynasty. So then Krishna says, but then this Yadu dynasty, these Yadavas are so powerful that no outside force can annihilate the Yadavas. They have to be killed only by creating a quarrel from within. So then in this way he tells the plan. But then surprisingly, immediately in the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes about the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Beauty and characteristics of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So one may wonder that why just in the previous verse he is describing about Krishna's plan about annihilating the Yadu dynasty, but then immediately in the next verse why Sukadeva Goswami is describing about the beauty of the Supreme Lord. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami says, Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all beauty and all beautiful things emanate from him. And Krishna is so attractive that any person who actually sees the beauty of Lord Krishna, that would completely steal the person's eyes. In fact, in the purport, Hridayananda Maharaj quotes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He says that Krishna is so beautiful that when a person sees Krishna's beauty, that he will lose taste to see any other form. In other words, he will become blind. Or when a person hears Krishna's words, he will not want to hear any other sound vibration. Or he will not want to speak any other things other than the topics about Lord Krishna. In other words, if a person comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, he will become deaf, dumb, or a madman, or he will become invalid. In this way, he is actually indirectly glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna. But then why is he, Sukadeva Goswami is describing about the beautiful features of the Supreme Lord immediately after telling the Krishna's plan to annihilate the Yadu dynasty? The reason is as follows. Like, as we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says in the first chapter, he says that when the elders of the family are killed, then there will be nobody to guide the younger generation. Then how will they actually practice the religious principles? This will result in Varna Sankara, and then those who destroy the family tradition, they will go to hell, etc. He describes. But then, here we see that if the Yadavas are destroyed, then they are Krishna's own family, then who will be there to guide the population of the world about the principles of devotional service? One may ask the question. Then why actually Krishna wants to annihilate the Yadavas? So Krishna, because they were proud, Krishna wants to annihilate. But then Krishna annihilates the Yadavas, then what is the solution for the people? How will they be guided? So Sukadeva Goswami explains in the translation itself. He says that Lord Krishna considered that simply by hearing and chanting the glories of mine, conditioned souls born in the future would cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. So Krishna exhibited such wonderful features when he was presented, when he was present on the planet. And then he thought that simply by, in this way he propagated his glories. And if a person simply hears and chants these glories, simply by that one will be actually, all the religious principles will be awakened. One will actually cross over the ocean of birth and death. So being satisfied with this arrangement, he left for his desired destination. So in this way, if a person simply hears about the Supreme Lord from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one can actually easily cross over the ocean of birth and death. So this word is explained in the third paragraph. So I'll just stop here. It's already 9:20. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki cha, Srila Prabhupada ki cha.